I'm Jack Anthony from Kingwood the Sixth School, and I'm in Year 12. Well, we visited the museum today of Kurdish torture history, and what was very interesting was listening to an experience of someone who lived through that, one of the people who was with us. What amazed me most is how calm he was about it.
So this used to be the headquarters of the Ba'ath regime party, the security building, the main security building. This used to be the scariest place in town. Nobody even dared to go in front of the doors. Whoever went by there, if you just turn around a little bit, they just called you in, put you in jail for like a month, 2 months, without anybody knowing that you were here. They had different kinds of methods for torturing people. They tortured people, they killed people, they executed people even without being tried. So it was a very, very scary place.
So after spending the morning in one of our partner schools, we decide we will take up the offer to go and visit this museum of torture, which is right in the heart of the city of Sulaymaniyah. I mean, literally in the heart of the city. It's surrounded by apartment blocks, and itself looks, as you walk in, like some other apartment block, except it's pockmarked with shelves, and it's got the building style of a kind of multi-story car park. It's very brutal. But once you get in there, what you realise is that you're walking in something purpose-built for imprisoning people, and in its most chilling parts, for torturing people. And underneath, the way we walked out was through passages that had been built to allow people to come in as spies and report on their neighbours.
Sometimes four or five people were put in that small room and left there for months without seeing light. Some of them have written memories on the walls that you can still see in some of the places.
What's so chilling is the fact that it's purpose-built.
It was purpose-built.
For the business of making people feel as dehumanised as possible.
Exactly.
And so this district would just still have been houses and things like that.
Yeah. Right, we used to live two blocks away from here, two blocks down the way.
I think it's important we've come here.
Really?
Do you
think so?
I think so. Because, you know, what we meet are people who are so confident and welcoming and hospitable and so on. And you would never believe that within someone's lifetime you've gone through...
No. You can't believe the scale of the brutality that was practiced in this building. Women being raped, children being killed, young people being tortured on daily basis, every day. It was particularly practiced here because this was a Kurdish city and the Iraqi regime didn't want us to have our independent state, so tried every way, every means they could, just to suppress us and make us be terrified not to try to liberate our cities.
I see. So this was being used in some ways as a kind of warning. What would befall anyone who tried to question the regime?
Exactly. I remember one night they took my brother. We were just having dinner at home. They took him in his pajamas, and we didn't know anything about him for 6 months. And then after 6 months, they told us that we had to give them like $20,000 in order to release him. So they were doing that too.
So that's what you did?
Yeah, we did. We paid the ransom and we made them release our son, my brother.
And what pretext had he been arrested on? Nothing.
For no reason. Just because my dad was a well-off person. He had money, so... She's trying to tell you that we wanted to show you how we used to live here and how much progress we have made since then.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for our students. My students, one of them said... He said, what's so different from this, from all the wars we hear about, is how recent it was.
I know.
And I think sometimes we study war in school, and it's seen as something which belongs to a different generation.
Right.
And suddenly we've got people here who've lived through this.
Yeah, we lived through it. We did.